stories of people and places, priceless treasures or humble keepsakes. Each with a beginning, none with an ending. The reason? They vanish without trace. The Bahamas, tropical islands of the West Indies, isles of enchantment, magic, and mystery. Bird Rock Island, one island in a thousand, small, remote, but inhabited by three people. Three people in a lighthouse on a September night in the year 1932. Mrs. Matilda Clark, wife of Bertram Clark, senior keeper of the Bird Rock Light, turns to Thomas Watkins and says,
"Come on, Tommy, don't let your tea get cold."
"I don't know, I feel like any."
"You don't want to take any notice of Bert's heavy tongue. It's all lash and no bark. You should know that by now."
"You don't believe me either."
"Here, Tilly, have you seen my pipe anywhere?"
"You can't talk about it now. You know what Bert said."
"But I tell you, Tilly, I saw it with my own eyes. A sea monster, I tell you."
"Are you still carrying on about that monster?"
"Yes, I am."
"The pipe, Tilly, have you seen?"
"It's here, where you always leave it, and your matches."
"See that? Like Tommy's story."
"You see what I mean?"
"Now, Tommy."
"Of course, you're on his side. You're his wife. Me, I'm only the junior lightkeeper around here. Who's going to listen to me?"
"Oh, yes, lad, you're right. Who is going to listen? And who'll believe your story anyway? A sea monster, indeed."
All right, laugh all you want. Go on, laugh your silly head off. When the lighthouse inspector calls tomorrow, you won't be laughing. You won't be laughing at all."
"Here, now listen to me, lad. You tell Captain Scott all you want to. But you tell him about seeing sea monsters, and you'll be leaving Bird Rock, all right? And on His Majesty's ship, Pearl Bay, and you'll be leaving in a straitjacket. There's a junior keeper, Thomas Watkins, is suffering from hallucinations. That's their nice way of saying that you're going off your rocker. You saw a long, dark shape come out of the ocean, a weave its long neck to the sky."
"Bert..."
"Well, after all, Tilly, what do you think they'll do if I let a report like this go through? This is 1930 to 32, isn't it? Jobs be scarce."
"Yes, dear. I suppose you're right."
"Well, you do believe me. You're only scared of losing your job. And yet that thing can be roaming the sea lanes, maybe sinking fishing boats around the islands already."
"Why not do ocean-going liners?"
"Well, he must have seen something, Bert, and heard it, too."
"It had a call like a blown-out foghorn, if I remember."
"Yes, there's still another night before the inspector's ship arrives. Could be he won't find us here. Could be we'll have just disappeared."
"Could be."
Senior keeper Clark goes to bed. And accustomed to years of night watchkeeping, he goes to sleep quickly and soundly. But the mind of Thomas Watkins continues searching, wondering if perhaps what he's seen, after all, was only imagination. His thoughts drift on. And perhaps that is the reason he doesn't hear a sound. The first time, or the second time, when Mrs. Clark is bringing him in the tea tray.
"What's that sound, Tommy? Tommy?"
"Hmm? Oh, sorry, I was thinking."
"Didn't you hear it?" "There it is again."
"That's it? That's the sound I heard last night."
"It could be just a ship's siren."
"Well, if it is, I've never heard one like it."
"If we can hear it, we should be able to see it." "I can't see a thing. Or hear anything now either."
"Just wait until the light comes round again." "That's it. That's it. You wait, Bert, and let him hear it, too."
seconds drag into minutes. And each minute the beam of the light completes one revolution. Each turn flashes for one instant across the dark, thin column swaying above the sea.
There it is. See? Over to the east.
No, the light's coming around that way now. Across the east, see? Southeast, south. Don't see a thing.
Well, you took too long. It wasn't there during the last two revolutions.
Hildy said she didn't see it neither.
But she heard it.
No. And what did it look like this time?
It was like an enormous snake. It towered over the sea, as tall as a ship. And I saw it coming out of the water, maybe 4 miles out. Could be more.
Well, there'd be nothing out there but the ocean. I'm going to bed.
But look.
What?
Are you going to report it to the inspector tomorrow?
Here comes the inspector now. You've still got time to write it into the log.
Now, you listen to me, young fellow.
Yes, I agree. The lighthouse is in perfect order. Credit to the senior keeper. Sent a recommendation to London.
You hear that? A recommendation to London for the way I keep the light. Now, what chance would I have if I wrote an entry about a stupid sea monster?
If you don't write it, then I'll tell it.
You do, and it'll be the...
Oh, there you are, Mr.
Sir.
Very creditable job aloft. No, can I see your logbook?
I think Mr. Clark still has one more entry to make, sir.
Oh? That's so far?
No, sir, it beats. There's the log all complete.
Thank you. Seems in order.
Sir, I...
Yes, Watkins?
Nothing, sir.
He just be nervous of high rank, sir.
Oh? Oh, I see. Well, he'll have to get used to it for when he gets his ticket as a senior keeper next year.
No, I'm sure he will, sir. I'm sure he will.
Very well-kept station, Clark. Excellent.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But by the way, before I board the longboat, just a small thing I was going to mention.
Aye, sir.
Nothing in it for you, perhaps, but Kingston University reported a volcanic disturbance in the sea a few miles east of here.
Lightkeeper's face clouds with concern as he watches the longboat pull away from the shore, sees the naval ship weigh anchor, leave the sheltered inlet. And he grows thoughtful as night again comes to the lonely island.
Now, what be the time, Tilly?
11:35.
Well, I'm glad Tommy's taken over at midnight. I won't be sorry to whip my bunk tonight.
Bert, did you hear that? The same as last night, Bert, but closer.
Oh, it did be just the wind.
Have you ever heard a wind like that?
Well, it could be a ship, blowing its fog horn.
Why? There's no fog tonight?
Well, if it's a ship, we'll see its lights. Could be in distress out there.
What are you doing?
I'm going to the window to look out, that's all. Yeah.
Well, can you see it?
I can't see a thing yet. Light's swinging towards the sounds now. Should see what it is any second. Here, there is something. Here, go down and wake Tommy. He's better on the wireless than I am.
You're going to send a message? Then it's true. Tommy did see.
Here, sounds like he'd be coming up now. Ah, yes.
Well, are you satisfied now?
Here, now look here, young Tom. You'll have to send a message, an urgent one, warning all shipping.
I'll turn the transmitter on. Give it time to warm up.
Listen to it out there. It sounds almost angry.
Whatever it is, it's only about 2 miles away and it's coming closer.
Oh, Bert, I'm scared.
Oh, we'll be all right, Tilly. This lighthouse, be built like a fortress.
Well, the transmitter's almost ready. But what do I send out?
Well, I... Just warn him. Tell him we've seen some unidentified disturbance from the sea.
The thin, bead-like notes stretch out across the ether, push weakly against the heavy curtain of static. Directed to all shipping and to the West Indies Harbors Board in Kingston. The wireless room of His Majesty's ship Pearl Bay is able to pick up some of the message. Enough to give impetus to prompt action.
Oh, it's you, Wentworth. Something wrong?
I'm not sure, sir. The wireless room picked up part of the signal from the Bird Rock Lighthouse.
Well, let me see it. Unidentified... Not very clear. Unidentified something disturbance approaching lighthouse. Request... More unintelligible words.
The static was very bad, sir. Seems to be some electrical disturbance in the area.
Seems they want us to return. It took us all of 12 hours to get there. Ask the navigation officer to give me a new course. Shortest route to Bird Rock Island.
And 12 hours later, Captain Scott is again standing on the beach he had left less than 24 hours before. The beach of Bird Rock Island. But an island whose shape and size has changed overnight.
What do you make of it, sir?
I don't know what to make of it, Wentworth. It must have been a storm. Have you seen no signs of storms on any of the other islands around here?
What do you think of the wireless room's theory, sir? That one of the words could have referred to a sea monster from that volcanic disturbance.
Of course, now take a look at the island. We just pushed all out of shape at this end.
Well, we'll soon know, sir, when we hear what the lighthouse keeper has to say.
Yes, Strange hasn't come out to meet us after the message last night.
Take a look at the living quarters, sir. That could be the reason.
Huh? What do you mean, Wentworth?
Over there, sir. The living quarters seem to have... Well, what's left of them is squashed, flat as an old hat.
Only one person survived that fatal night of 1932. Mrs. Clark, wife of the senior keeper, was found by the two naval men, found inside the shelter of the lighthouse itself. Mrs. Clark was in a state of nervous shock and capable of uttering only two words, sea monster. And when she eventually recovered, one portion of her memory was a blank. She could recall nothing of whatever terrible thing took place on the island that fateful night. The naval theory is that a tornado or waterspout swept across the island and the surrounding sea. But the authorities are unable to account for a black slime which Commander Wentworth found in the rocks surrounding the base of the light. A fluid not unlike that expelled by the giant squid when enraged. Opinion is still divided on the mystery of the wrecked lighthouse. But one point is poignantly clear. The keeper's dwellings and the two men, senior keeper Bertram Clark and junior keeper Thomas Watkins, had simply vanished without trace. Be listening again for another True Life drama in this fascinating series, Vanished Without Trace.